Take your Bibles, if you would, Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 31 tonight. We finished up last week in verse 30, where Gabriel had come to Mary. And of course, she was frightened when she saw him appear. And we ended last week with verse 30, where Gabriel said to Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." And we start tonight where Gabriel goes on to explain what that favor is. So look at verse 31 as we start tonight. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." So here again, we have the virgin birth when Gabriel said, "Ye shall conceive in thy womb and you're going to have a boy, have a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now in the book of Matthew, the name Jesus is explained. The angel says, "For he shall save his people from their sins." But Mary knew what the name meant, because the name Jesus is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. And again, you remember Luke's perspective, his emphasis is on presenting Jesus as the king. And so Gabriel goes on in verse 32 and says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Let me go ahead and read verse 33. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." David had been promised by God an everlasting kingdom. And so the everlasting kingdom that David, that God was going to give to David as in fulfillment of that promise, was not a political kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom, where the Son of God would rule on the throne of David forever and ever and ever. And so these were blessed words to Mary. We mentioned the last couple of weeks, every Jewish mother that had a little boy prayed that her son would be the Messiah. That the baby boy that she bore would be the promised child of God. And so they were blessed words for Mary, but they were strange words. And Mary had a question. If you look at verse 34, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now, again, this is not a strange question for Mary to ask. It's a natural question. Here was a young lady that had not known man. She had the intent to remain pure. Remember, she was in that second phase of engagement where she had agreed to the marriage, and she and they were living apart for a year, she and Joseph. But she intended to remain pure during that year that they were getting ready to actually be married. And so her question was, how can what you say happen? I have not known man. I do not intend to know man until after I am married. And again, it wasn't a question of doubt. You remember when Zacharias, when Gabriel talked to Zacharias, his question, "Well, we're both old. My wife and I are both old." He doubted what Gabriel said. I do not believe that Mary for one moment doubted what Gabriel said. And we'll see what she says in just a minute that leads me to believe that. But she had, so it wasn't a question of doubt. She knew she was pure. She knew that she hadn't had any relations with any man. And so I believe what you're telling me is true, but how can it happen? Now, there are those today that deny the virgin birth. Say it's impossible. It could not, Jesus could not be born of a virgin. Mary doesn't deny what's going to happen. She, again, and neither does Luke, the doctor. Neither one of them deny the virgin birth, Mary is just asking the question, how is this going to happen? Again, a natural question. And it gives God an opportunity to send the answer through Gabriel. Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." That word overshadow is the same word that's used back in the Old Testament when it talks about the Shekinah glory of God in the Holy of Holies over the mercy seat. The glory of God overshadowed the mercy seat. So what was going to happen to Mary? And in answer to her question, how it was going to happen, is that it was going to be a miracle of God. The Holy Spirit of God was going to come on upon her, and she was going to conceive as a direct result of the Holy Spirit of God overshadowing her. It was going to be a miracle of God. And again, a miracle is an act of God that is above the law as man understands it, but by the laws which are known to God, which he performs in keeping with his purpose. So his purpose was that his son be born of a virgin, and we'll talk about why in just a second. But the natural law was, you know, you didn't have a baby unless a man and a woman came together. Well, God was going to change that law. He was going to do something different. He was going to work a miracle. Now, there are people today that say it's not important that whether we believe the virgin birth is true or not. And I'll just stand here tonight and tell you I vehemently disagree with the people that say that. I think it's very important that we believe in the virgin birth. Look, if the virgin birth is not true, then what is said here in the book of Luke is not true. What is said in the first chapter of Matthew is not true. And if those two passages of Scripture are not true, how many other passages are not true? The Bible is the Word of God, and it's either all right or none of it's right. And for people to say, well, it doesn't matter whether we believe in the virgin birth or not, they're casting doubt on the holy word of God. Jesus was virgin born. This part of the Bible is just as true as the rest of it. If the virgin birth is not right, it's harder for me to believe that God would take a man born of a human dad and a human mom and declare him to be the Son of God, God Himself. That's harder to believe than the virgin birth. That a human being with a human dad and a human mom could become God. I have a lot tougher time believing that than I do the virgin birth. If the virgin birth is not accurate, is not true, then how do we have the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world? If Jesus wasn't virgin born, it means he had a human dad, which means he had a sin nature passed through his dad from Adam. He could not be the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, with that sin nature. And so what we believe about the virgin birth is very important. You take away the virgin birth, you might as well take away the gospel. We don't have a Savior. It is a critical tenet of the gospel, the virgin birth is. It is a critical tenet of our Christian faith. Jesus Christ, our Savior, was virgin born. And again, it's something we ought to stand on and not move on. This is what we believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Now, Mary didn't ask for proof, but Gabriel gave her some anyway. Look at verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Hey, Mary, I know you're not doubting what I'm telling you, but I want to tell you something else. Your cousin Elizabeth, your older cousin Elizabeth, your cousin Elizabeth who is well past the age of childbearing, who was married to Zacharias, who is also well past the age of childbearing, she's conceived. She is having a little baby. In fact, she is 6 months along in her pregnancy. Now, again, I think Elizabeth and Zacharias kept the fact that they were going to have children, a child, secret. I don't think they told anybody. I think this was news to Mary. I don't think she knew about it until Gabriel told her. And Gabriel says, you know, your cousin Elizabeth, you know, she was called barren. There was no hope that she would have any child. Well, she is 6 months pregnant and will have a baby. And then notice what Gabriel says in verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Nothing shall be impossible. He can cause a virgin to give birth just as easy as he can cause an elderly woman and an elderly man well past the age of childbearing, just as easy as he can have them have a little baby. It's just as easy for him to have a virgin give birth to a little baby, because there is nothing impossible with God. He can do anything. You know, if mankind could just grasp that truth, just grasp the truth that God can do anything, many of the things in the Bible that man has a problem believing wouldn't be a problem. If mankind just grasps the fact that God can do anything, the fact that he could create the world in 6 days wouldn't be a problem. If God can do anything, it's not a problem for him to speak everything into existence. I mean, you have people trying to explain creation. Oh, it happened over thousands of years. And, you know, this Big Bang and all the evolution. If we just believe God could do anything, it's not a problem. If he can do anything, he could create the world in 6 days. No problem. If he could do anything, it wouldn't be a problem to send a flood that covered the whole earth. People debate about how old the earth is. And they say it's got to be millions of years old because that's the only way that you could get the fossils. Well, they don't think God had the power to send a flood that flooded the whole earth and created the fossils the way that they did. It wouldn't be a problem, the splitting of the Red Sea. People say, oh, God couldn't split the Red Sea. It was just a little creek, and he just sort of divided it. And you've heard me say before, well, if that was the case, it sure was a miracle to drown the whole Egyptian army in that little creek. If we just believe God could do anything, some of these things that people have a hard time believing, it wouldn't be a problem. Wouldn't be a problem to believe that he could knock down the walls of Jericho. People say, well, it was the confluence of all the music and the shouting and those sound waves. That's harder for me to believe than God just knocked it down. God can do anything. The pot of oil that multiplied. That lady that took her 2 sons in, didn't have anything. They were about to sell her sons as slaves to pay her debt. And Elijah told her, well, go borrow a bunch of pots and bring the pots in and take that little pot of oil and start. And she filled up every pot. People have a hard time believing that God can do anything. Or when Elijah went and stayed with the widow with the barrel of meal and the little cruse of oil. God can do anything. We wouldn't have a problem believing the stories that are in the Bible if we just believe God can do anything. The conception of John the Baptist, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. If we just lived in the fact that our God can do the impossible, none of those things would be hard for mankind to believe, because God can do anything. And Gabriel reminded this young lady, hey, you serve a God that where nothing is impossible for him. Now, by faith, a simple childlike faith, Mary believed the angel. Zacharias didn't. She said, oh, no, it's impossible, can't happen. All right, you're not going to be able to talk until your little boy is born. Not Mary. She believed the angel. And Mary said, verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Just that word handmaid comes from the Greek word douli, which means female slave. A slave that chose to be a slave. A slave that volunteered to be a slave. It's the same word that Paul would use later when he called himself a bond slave of Jesus Christ. She says, be it unto me according to your word. If that's how God wants to use me, so be it. I surrender myself to the will of God. Now, she knew there would be repercussions. She knew that an unwed pregnant lady was an outcast in that society. She knew that people would think that she had sinned and she would be cast away from decent people in the world in which she lived. She knew that probably that Joseph would have a problem with it. And sure enough, when he found out that she was pregnant, he did have a problem with it and wanted to put her away. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. The law was back in that day, if during this period of engagement, if you were unfaithful to your husband and you got pregnant, you could be stoned. You could be killed. I mean, they could justifiably take your life away. And when Mary said, "Be it unto thy servant as you said," she knew all that could happen. And yet she says, "If this is God's will for my life, make it so. Make it so." And again, I think our Catholic friends hold Mary too high. I don't think we hold her high enough. Yes, she was a young human lady. But here was a young lady that lived Romans 12:1. She presented her body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and proving that his will is good and right. And she said, "Lord, here I am. If this is how you want to use me, so be it. I give myself to you, regardless of what it cost, regardless of the repercussions that are going to come into my life. I give myself to you, and I'm depending on you to take care of me as you work your will in my life." What an example that she is to us. What an example of faith. What an example of one that submitted her body as a living sacrifice. And what a promise to those folks that do it, how God will reward that kind of faith, how God will reward that kind of sacrifice. Now, I've often wondered if Mary told her parents. I don't think she did. I think she knew that they would not understand. And again, I don't know if she was still, you know, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago in this year period, sometimes they lived at home with their parents, sometimes they lived with friends. So I wonder, I don't think she did. I wonder if she told Joseph. I know she didn't, because Joseph didn't find out by Mary telling her. He noticed it, that she was pregnant. And again, she didn't tell him what Gabriel had said, because he thought that she had cheated on him and wanted to he was honorable in it. He wanted to put her away privately and was going to do that until the angel paid him a visit. And so she couldn't talk to her mom and dad. She couldn't talk to the one that she was engaged to. And so she went to the one person who could understand and believe what Gabriel had told her. Look at verse 39. "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah." When the Bible says that she arose and went with haste, it means that she went immediately. She left immediately. Most Bible scholars think it was about a 3-day journey to get to from where she was down to Zacharias and Elizabeth's house. That's where she was going. And so she had to make preparation to go. And she went, again, to the one person that she knew would understand and believe what the angel had told her. Verse 40, "and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." And so she went to her cousin's house. Usually, if the man was home, the custom was you would salute the man first and then his wife. The fact that that verse says that she saluted Elizabeth indicates that Zacharias wasn't home. I think it was by divine providence that he wasn't home. I think it was by divine providence and plan that these two ladies could have some time alone to talk to each other about what had happened. Now, again, so she said, and when it says that she saluted Elizabeth, she went into the house and said, Elizabeth, hello, I'm here. She didn't go into a detailed account of what Gabriel had told her yet. But notice what the Bible says in verse 41. "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So she went into Elizabeth's house. Zacharias wasn't there, I don't believe. She said hello to Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard her greeting, John the Baptist, who was a little boy in Elizabeth's womb, who was 6 months along in his development, leaped in her womb. She was full of the Holy Ghost. Now, when Mary walked in and saw her cousin, she probably knew that Elizabeth was pregnant. She did not go there, I do not believe, to check out and make sure what Gabriel told her was true. She believed what Gabriel told her was true. She went because, again, here was somebody that could understand and believe the message that she got from the angel. Somebody that knew that God was at work in what was going on. And so Mary could tell by looking at Elizabeth that what Gabriel said was true. And Elizabeth, without Mary speaking one word about what Gabriel had told her, knew that the mother of the Christ child had just entered her home. She knew because the Holy Spirit filled her. She knew because her son, who was going to be the forerunner of the Savior, leaped for joy in her womb. And so Elizabeth launches out in this blessing on Mary and said, Blessed art thou among women. You have been chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. Again, God revealed that to her. Mary didn't tell her. God revealed that to her. Mary, you're blessed. God's chosen you to be the mother of the Messiah. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. I mean, Israel had been waiting for the Messiah for a long time. And Elizabeth's saying, thank God. Thank God. Praise God. He's bringing it about. He's bringing it about through you. And Elizabeth felt honored. Why? Why would the mother of the Messiah come visit me? Why would you honor me with your presence? And so here was the first song of praise. I mean, here was the daughter of a priest, married to a priest of the old order, of the old covenant, singing the first song of praise to the high priest of the new order or the new covenant, singing a song of praise to Jesus Christ. She says in verse 44, hey, as soon as I heard your voice, my baby leaped or jumped for joy. And again, Elizabeth knew the role that her son was going to play. She knew the role that John, that we know as John the Baptist, was going to play. He was going to be the forerunner. He was going to go before the Messiah to prepare the way. And so when this little baby John heard the voice of Mary and knew that the Messiah had come into his presence, and again, you know, I think Mary left right away. I think she got pregnant right away. I don't think, I mean, when Gabriel spoke to her, I think it happened. She got pregnant. Because 3 days later, when she got to Elizabeth's house, I believe that Jesus was already conceived in her womb and that it was his presence, the one that John was going to devote his life to going before and preparing the way. It was the presence of the Savior that caused him to leap for joy. And in verse 45, I'm one with this, I know I'm out of time. Here's what Elizabeth said. Blessed are you, Mary, because you believed. You believed. You believed what Gabriel told you. You believed that you were going to mother the Christ child. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. What Elizabeth was saying, God's going to do exactly what he told you. You believed. And God's going to do exactly what he told you. You know, I was thinking, all of us are blessed the same way that Mary was. Because we believed the gospel. We believed what God did for us on Calvary. We believed the price that Jesus paid for our sins. And God is going to do for us exactly what he promised through Christ. He's going to forgive us. He's going to justify us. He's going to fill us with the Holy Spirit. He's going to prepare a home in heaven for us. We have the same, a similar type blessing from God because we believed. Again, not because who we are, not because what we've done. Again, Mary was a pure young lady, but that's not why God chose her. It wasn't because she was of the family. We don't know anything about her family. It was all because of the grace of God that he chose Mary. It's all because of the grace of God he chose us and offers to us salvation. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.